This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in live nationwide and around the world to Ron Cecchi today on the St. Patrick's Day weekend. And we have a big show for you this week. My first guest is author Sean Levy. He has penned a book called King of Comedy, The Life and Art of Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis would have turned 93 March 16th, and we'll be talking to Sean about that book. From NASCAR on NBC, Rutledge Wood will be joining us, and Lauren Soller will be here talking about sleep deprivation. Next hour, international singing star Sarah Brightman will be joining us. From Verizon, the vice president of that organization, G5 is the new latest technology. We'll be talking to Mike Haberman. Mike O'Brien from Saturday Night Live and the executive producer of AP Bio on NBC will be here. And March is National Nutrition Month. We'll be talking to Carolyn O'Neill. And that's all coming up this week with Ron Cecchi today.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. Because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root, the capitalist evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man, who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fortum has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fortum also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fortum is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FortumResources.com. That's Fortum, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
We are back live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Cecchi today. And this week on the show, we are going to remember comedian Jerry Lewis. Now, a lot of people love Jerry, and then he had those people that didn't quite like him that much. But we're going to talk about it in this book that is penned by our next guest. And again, March 16th would mark the 93rd birthday of Jerry Lewis. Joining us right now with the author of King of Comedy, The Life and Art of Jerry Lewis is Sean Levy. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hi. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. It's been 21 years since you wrote this book, has it not?
Yeah, it came out in 1996.
Since then, you've written books about Robert De Niro, The Rat Pack, Paul Newman. I understand now it's available where you can read it online. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah. Strangely, it was not an e-book until last year.
Wow.
It was around the 20th anniversary. The book was written long enough ago that e-books weren't in the contract.
Let's start off by this, okay? You did an enormous amount of research even before you met Jerry Lewis. Now, there is a very surprise ending to this that we'll talk about later. But the book starts out very, very complimentary, talking about what he has accomplished, his impact, entertainment in the world, and then it kind of deteriorates from there. But you did a lot of research, and now you wanted to talk to him personally. How did you make that initial step to meet a man who was very difficult to meet on a good day.
Well, I wrote him a letter, put it in the mail. It was 1993, I believe, when I started working on the book, and I had email, but very few people did. And I got an address for him, and I wrote him a letter, and one day I was on the phone talking to someone, and call waiting, remember call waiting
came through,
and I click on the button, and on the other line is Jerry Lewis. And we started having conversations and a couple of meetings pursuant to that phone call.
Now, was he receptive to your call? Was he receptive to talking to you further about the project? Because he wasn't very receptive to people the first time around because he was always on guard, using him for reasons that he wasn't particularly fond of.
I think he was receptive. He reached out to me. He could have ignored my letter.
Sure.
And he invited me to meet him, and he made reference materials available. He told people who checked with him that it was okay to talk with me, that I was, you know, a good egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was suspicious, on guard, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also, you know, I presented it to him as, I am going to write this book, whether you participate or not, but it would be a better book if you participated. So I think at some level he wanted to, you know, have some control in the process.
And this really started off as a very good relationship, going as far as not only being nice to you, but making sure that he was nice to your mother during his concerts. He'd want to talk to her, was proud to talk about the relationship he had with you to your mother, which made her proud. I mean, this started off as a real good chemistry between you and he, which was very unusual for him with another person. But it didn't end up that way, did it?
No. We had two long meetings on his yacht in San Diego. His primary home was Las Vegas, but he kept a large boat in a basin in San Diego, and that's where I visited him. And after the first one, we really were collaborating in a sense. It's difficult to say what he expected of me, because I think he was, you know, it was sort of like a poker game, and he had cards and I had cards, and I didn't know him really well at that point. But he, as I say, he was cooperative. He was, he literally mailed things to my home that I could use, Xeroxed materials. He was great. The second meeting was almost the exact opposite. From the time I arrived at the boat, he was edgy. He made insinuations about me, and then after about an hour and a half, I asked a question that lit him up, and suddenly I was sort of, I had in my face a screaming, drill sergeant or, football coach. Frankly, I grew up in New York City. I'm used to a lot of aggression. I'd never seen anything like this, not on screen. And it was incredible, because here's this guy, this legend, someone I grew up watching on TV, yelling in my face with a big red face. And I left after that, and we had a couple of other encounters. But I recounted all of this in the epilogue to the book because it seemed only fair. I did so much research, and unfortunately, this was one of those lives where the more you learned, the ickier it got.
Mm-hmm.
And you would come across things that I couldn't say in 1996 when he was alive that I could say now that are really hair-raising behaviors and statements and, major life choices that he made that, for legal reasons, we couldn't talk about at the time. And as I learned these things, the book took on a darker and darker tone.
Yeah.
I was obliged to tell the true story as I discovered it. And unfortunately, the more truth I discovered, the best things about Jerry were kind of well known. His charitable work, his great film career, things of that nature. But the darker side was not really revealed. And I had the kind of mixed blessing of being the guy who revealed a lot of it.
Sean, did you walk away liking the man? Because Well, I have my own feelings about that, and I'll express them. But did you walk away liking him?
You know, I grew to admire him, but I found him unlikable. I found him, he was hard on people close to him. I mean, I don't even have to explain my own feelings. When, after he passed, when his will, was filed in probate court in Clark County, Nevada, it was revealed that he disinherited 5 of his 6 children. All of his sons from his first marriage got nothing from his many millions of dollars estate. And I'm a parent, and, you know, I had parents, and you wonder what happens in someone's life and in their heart and mind to make them like that. He's not necessarily the easiest guy to like.
I guess, proper to say, or is it accurate to say, that his worst enemy was him? I mean, here's a man who had an unusual relationship with his own father. His father was very domineering and wasn't very complimentary to him. As you mentioned, he disowned 5 sons, and I mean disowned them. I mean, it was unbelievable what you said in their relationship with stuff. He seems to be a very vindictive, mean person, and what I never understood is that with all of the problems that he caused, that he was the cause of in his career, how he still maintained to be a player in the industry with everybody in the right positions knowing that if they hired him, he was going to be a pain in the neck.
Well, you know, we can talk about him being a player in the industry, but after 1970, he only performed in about 5 or 6 theatrical films. That's 47 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So the bulk of his work was done in the first quarter century of his career. And then after that, I mean, he would make appearances, and there were, you know, a handful of films in which he had important roles. King of Comedy, the Martin Scorsese film, a film that was just released last year called Max Rose, in which he plays an elderly widower who learns his late wife's secrets. But, you know, people did stay away from him. I have a quote from someone in the entertainment business who told me that guy has 3 sets of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was difficult. He burned a lot of bridges, and he stopped being a moneymaker.
Yeah.
His style, you know, times changed, and his type of comedy, what he did, was no longer attractive to audiences. And, you know, you can be a pain in the neck to people if you know, you're selling tickets, but when the ticket sales stop and all they have is a pain in the neck who costs them more than he earns them, you're not going to get work. It's a pretty simple formula.
We're going to pause for a second, Sean. Our guest is Sean Levy. The name of his book is King of Comedy. It was written 21 years ago. It's now available, though, online to read. You have to read this, whether you are or are not a Jerry Lewis fan, because it's a fascinating profile of a very complicated entertainer. And the author tells it, warts and all. It's very well written. It's amazing, in fact. And we will be talking more about this legend when we return in just a couple of seconds. As we mentioned in the introduction, March 16th would have been the 93rd birthday of Jerry Lewis. We're going to pause. We'll be right back with more with Ron Segee today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Most people in today's economy are taking a roller coaster ride with their investments. With Vantage Point software, you can remove that dynamic from your investment strategy once and for all. Vantage Point has spent the last 3 decades perfecting an artificial intelligence process that you can put to use today to take advantage of market fluctuations and make money no matter which way the market moves. Vantage Point software analyzes massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds, so you get the information you need to make the right decisions to optimize your profits. For a limited time, Vantage Point is giving away a free market forecast that will show you which stocks are about to take off, and you'll be able to use this forecast immediately. Text NOW to 411-411. We'll send you a link to your free market forecast so you take back control of your financial future with Vantage Point software. Text NOW to 411-411. Text NOW to 411-411.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We are back live all across the USA and around the world for our second portion of our interview with Sean Levy, whose first book was King of Comedy, which came out about 21 years ago. It's available now on e-books, and we're talking about the life and times of Jerry Lewis, and we are remembering Jerry. On March 16th would have been his 93rd birthday. Sometimes we forget about all the money you added up for MDA. Ed McMahon and I were best friends and partners for many, many, many years. I toured with Ed. We did radio shows together. He, like, a member of my family. And when he passed away, the McMahon family asked me to join them at the MDA telethon that year. He died in June. This was in September, because Jerry was going to pay tribute to him. I was so disgusted with his tribute that the family actually walked out. I stayed there because his only tribute was, well, I want to remember my buddy Ed McMahon, who's probably up in heaven drinking or drunk by now. That was it. That same telethon, he brought the poster girl up and said to her, as she sat on his lap with steel on both legs, "Nice gams." And then he, in front of an audience filled with kids, used a four-letter word between the break. I don't understand how he maintained a presence with that kind of arrogance. I really don't, Sean.
Yeah, we're learning more about, how to say this, men of his generation and the behavior that they took for granted is becoming more and more exposed and decried in our culture. I mean, I think that, you know, when you're the funny guy and you can get away with a little bit more, in Jerry there was always this desire to be acknowledged and appreciated and respected and loved, because he felt like he had none of that as a child. And talk to him about it. He was a funny guy. He was a big shot. He did come from a culture where, you know, speaking, you know, coarsely wasn't as penalized as it is today. And he was deeply insecure and thin-skinned. So you put all that together, and you get a guy who behaves as you just described.
Here's the thing that really got me about this. You talk about having friends. If you had a true friend, somewhere along the line, somebody would come up to you and say, "Hey, Jerry, you're not bankable anymore. You better change your attitude, because nobody wants to get near you." And nobody apparently had the guts to do that. I mean, when you're at the top of the mountain, or you are perceived to be at the top of the mountain, because he really wasn't in the last few years, then I think knowing that you have somebody who's going to fly off the handle in a New York heartbeat, they're afraid to do that. The ABC television show, which was done at the El Capitan Theater, which he bought, was a fiasco. It failed. Then NBC, in their infinite wisdom, picked up a show much like the ABC show, not learning any lessons from ABC and Jerry's failing there. I understand perseverance on behalf of the talent, but I don't understand the satellite people around him that kept on giving him these second breaks. I mean, tell the story about his refusal to rehearse with Lynn Redgrave and what he did in the middle of a play on Broadway during intermission by refusing to go back onto the second act when the audience was full.
It was the late 70s, and he, you know, his film career had pretty much evaporated. So he was on Broadway. He Hell's a Poppin', a revival of kind of like vaudeville burlesque, you know, the not the striptease burlesque, but the old-fashioned variety show.
Right.
And someone thought, hey, let's do Hell's a Poppin', which was a popular variety show in the 30s. And they got Jerry and they got Lynn Redgrave. And Lynn Redgrave is a proper actress. You know, she comes from a family that's one of the great acting dynasties in the English language. And she had, you know, standards of comportment on the stage and in preparation and rehearsal and things like this. And Jerry would have none of it. And he was openly abusive to her, verbally, you know, physically dismissive, undermining her, you know, cues and things like this. It was a fiasco, and it didn't last very long on stage either, because in the late 1970s, Jerry was just not funny, not in his life, his work. Audiences didn't want to see it.
He made a threat that he wasn't going to go on because of that situation. The MDA Telethon, now he is, of course, reverend for raising all that money. I always used to say that if somebody was hosting that show that the general public really felt close to, like a Johnny Carson, they could probably raise twice as much. He was only recognized in the latter years in France. He had an ongoing feud with Bing Crosby one time because Bing thought he was going to pull a hairpiece off of his head during a appearance in Vegas. He fired Judy Campbell, which of course was Sam Giancana's girlfriend, and he had a radio station that he bought that he had a studio in his home so he could interrupt the talent at any time to, you know, go on and on and on. His drug use, his very outgoing womanizing, embarrassing his wife Patty at every juncture, ignoring his sons, just spoke volumes of the man. Did you happen to see, by any chance, Sean, one of the last interviews he did that was posted on YouTube that was done by probably a very small entertainment show, and how he treated that reporter?
That wasn't a small entertainment show. That was Variety Magazine.
Oh, was it really? Okay, I never...
Yeah.
Jeez, oh man.
You now, he basically cold-shouldered the guy and gave him one-word answers. But I have to say, that was a terrible interview. They did a series of interviews with entertainment people who'd reached their 90s, Betty White, Norman Lear, Jerry among them, Dick Van Dyke. The questions were terrible.
Yes,
the first question was basically like, so you haven't died yet, what's that like? But the other people, you know, those interviews were posted as well, and they found graceful or funny or patient ways to deal with kind of a dumb reporter. The other person could say, you know what, you're an impolite jerk, and there's your standoff.
You know, my wife got a job offer from him one time while she was married to me, and when she told him that I'm Ed McMahon's partner and she works in my company, he reneged on the proposal, which Ed said was probably the best career move you made, Claudia. I mentioned to you in the break that I could talk to you for hours about this. I'm sure somebody's listening to me right now saying, geez, oh man, why would you want to talk about Jerry Lewis? It doesn't seem like you're a fan of his. As a child, my father being Italian, he was mad at Jerry Lewis, and I told this to Dina Martin one time because all he kept doing was interrupting Dean Martin, that nice Italian boy that sang That's Amore, you know? So he didn't like him from the start. I just didn't understand his talent, and I didn't understand his personal life and how arrogant he was when things were not going well. You know, when things go bad, Sean, you kind of be nice to people, you know? He wasn't. And you bring that out in this book. That ending that you do on the boat is absolutely phenomenal. I didn't expect that. It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. You didn't see it coming.
I've had it quoted back to me by Steve Martin, Penn Jillette, Harry Shearer. Tom Hanks once told me that he was out to dinner with Martin Short and Paul Reiser, and Marty Short spent the dinner doing an impression of, you know, mature Jerry, not stage, not hey lady, not that Jerry, but the telethon Jerry, doing impressions of that Jerry throwing me off the boat all night and had them in stitches. I was at Sundance Film Festival and met Harry Shearer. You know, I said, I interviewed you for my book on Jerry Lewis. And he turns to his wife and says, honey, this is the guy Jerry Lewis threw off the boat.
What a legacy you have, Sean. Very seldom in this entertainment industry do I pursue people to be on the air with me. They kind of come and say, hey, can we be on your show? I pursued you. You tell it like it is about somebody that probably up to the time of his death was afraid to tell it like it is.
Well, thank you so much. And 21 years is true interest in the subject.
Yeah,
so
really.
I appreciate it.
Yes, it's been Sean Levy. He's penned a book called The King of Comedy, The Life and Art of Jerry Lewis. Even though it's 21 years old, it's available on ebook. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The death toll in the New Zealand mosque terror attacks has now risen to 50, and 39 people remain in the hospital. USA Radio Network's Rick Vincent has more on the story.
A gunman fired on worshippers gathered for Friday prayers. New Zealand's Prime Minister says the whole country is going through this tragedy together.
While the nation grapples with a form of grief and anger that we have not experienced before, we are seeking answers. After this media conference, I will board a Defence Force plane and travel to Christchurch. I will have other political leaders with me, including the leader of the opposition. As is the entire nation, we are all unified in grieving together.
The suspect had a legal gun license. He used two semi-automatic weapons and two shotguns. The Prime Minister vows to change the nation's gun laws. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-561-5716. That's 800-561-5716. Again, 800-561-5716.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA and around the world. It's Ron Segi today. Well, if you've listened to me for 7 seconds, you know that I'm a big fan of NASCAR. And I've had all of the greats on the show, from Kyle to Kurt Busch, Richard Petty. I go back to the days of Fireball Roberts, Joe Weatherly, and great drivers from the beginning of that sport. And joining us right now is a gentleman who's an analyst for NASCAR on NBC. We see him every week, and he's at a special location right now. He is in Salt Lake City, Utah, for the big, huge RV show. Joining us right now is Rutledge Wood. Hi, Rutledge. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Ron, thanks so much for having me, pal. Sure appreciate it.
Dude, great job.
Thank you so much, pal. I really appreciate it. I love that you've got an intro like that, because to me, that shows me already we're going to be good friends.
Oh, and great friends.
I think that's what's so fun about being a part of NASCAR and NBC is that we, you know, not only do we get to be there for the racing, but, you know, for me, that's what makes so much sense to be here for the RV experience.
Sure.
You know how much of that experience of going to a race is tailgating, is camping out with your friends, it's bringing an RV. To me, like, this is all of my worlds kind of put together.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and we're going to talk a little bit more about racing later on, but we do want to talk about the RV experience in Salt Lake City right now. Tell us about it, because you're going to play an intricate part in this, and as you alluded to, you are, I guess, what they call an RVer.
That's right. You know, I got introduced to RVing by my grandparents, who would come visit us when I was growing up in Alabama. They'd come visit every summer with their fifth wheel, and the stories that they brought with them always told me, like, one day I'm going to get an RV. I'm going to go out there and enjoy it. But what makes Salt Lake City so special this week is the RV experience. It's 500,000 square feet of RVs. We're talking almost 300 RVs in one spot, and it's all the top manufacturers, and you really get to see all the new and exciting stuff where people are bringing prototypes and concept RVs. It's all of the newest technologies in one place. And I think that's what I love so much, that we're seeing how the things that you and I want in our houses and the technology that we want in our cars as well coming to this industry in a really great way. And I think it's also Go RVing has really embraced that not everybody wants the exact same RV. And you look at the very distinct kind of archetypes of people who would want an RV and why. You know, a funny thing, Kyle Larson a few weeks ago put up on Twitter, hey, I'm looking for a new Sprinter Van RV, because he was wanting to haul his go-kart to some different tracks. But also, you know, when he goes to these sprint car races, if he had a small RV, you know, what a different experience that is. So it's not just young people and retirees. It's kind of everybody in between that is interested in RVing and wants to go see the country in a totally different way.
Well, you know, you're right about that. There is a stigma related to it that, you got to be old and retired to have an RV. Now, I live across the street from a state park, and I love walking through it because way in the back there is an RV section. And I love walking through there, especially on a Saturday or Sunday morning, because not only is it the thrill of driving, but it's the camaraderie. I used to be in boating for a lot of years. It's that same camaraderie. They go out, you smell the bacon and the eggs, you know, you have the chit-chat. It's really terrific.
It really is, and to me, that's the same thing that I love so much about RVing and how it goes hand-in-hand with NASCAR. You know, when we show up for NBC, we take over in July at Chicagoland, and to see those people come out and know that they've camped with their RVs next to each other year in and year out, it's the same thing that you're talking about at the state park across from your house. You know, you get to see not only families there sharing and having that community, but people that see each other there time after time. I have these great memories of going and playing gin with my grandparents, and they loved to play cards with the people that were in the RV park with them. And so I made these new friends and would meet grandparents and grandchildren of these friends. And it was just such a neat experience. I think that's really what binds people together, is that it is a community all in and of itself. And everywhere you go, there are people that are enjoying that part of the lifestyle.
I was at a Mecum auction not that long ago here in Orlando, and they had units there. And it's just fascinating what you find. Tell us about some of the real, real fancy stuff. Because I think people sometimes, if they've never been in it, or they've seen movies on TV where it's like, you know, something that is antiquated, won't believe what you see in these, like these Prevos and stuff.
Oh my goodness. And you saw at Mecum. Mecum really gets the best of the best. So the Prevos and everything that you saw there, there really is no limit on luxury for some of these things. And it's not to say that they're all crazy expensive. It just really depends on what it is that you want. You might want a Sprinter van based RV like Kyle Larson was looking for. You might want a travel trailer that's more set for like outdoor adventure. Like Sylvan Sport has a new one that won an award this week called the Vast. And this thing is so cool. It's got this amazing indoor-outdoor kitchen, super modular lounge inside that you can fit two queen beds, or you can keep all of your stuff locked away in there. And then you compare that to something like Heartland brought their new Cyclone. And I'm telling you, Ron, this is the ultimate tailgating RV. This thing has a kegerator built in. It's got 55-inch TVs, I think four of them. That's more than my local sports bar. But it also has that kind of toy hauler mentality in the back. There's a 13-foot garage where you can take everything with you. So I definitely think what people are seeing is that there is something for everybody, and it's not necessarily the same. You know, let that technology and let the ways that you want to use an RV kind of guide you. And I think that's something that Go RVing has done so well, because if you go to their website, GoRVing.com, they will help you with those decisions and figure out, well, how do I want to use this and where and what are those different ways? And to your point, you could get one that is a Prevo that's in the lap of luxury, or you could get something that's a lot more affordable that maybe you're not going to use as often as one of the big motorhomes.
Like the drivers in NASCAR, do you travel from city to city in an RV too?
I don't get to travel in an RV near as much as I would like to. Definitely during the summer runs we get to, and NBC lines one up for a bunch of the different races for us. I'm still trying to convince my best friend Kyle Petty to take a road trip with Dale Jarrett and I. I think we would be really fun in an RV across the country for some of those summer races. Well, I'm working on that as we speak.
Boy, I tell you, that would be a crew. There's no doubt about it. But Rutledge, a lot of people think, boy, I can't drive that. That's not that hard to drive, is it? You don't have to have a special license for that, do you?
Correct, yeah. You don't have to have a CDL. And, you know, there's a lot of different training courses that will help people. And now, we were talking about a truck yesterday from Newmar, and it has a 360-degree camera. So parking in one of those RV spots, like the state park you mentioned, has never been easier. They can get you exactly where you need to be. It's really not difficult. And, you know, I've got a Toyota Tundra. I can pull an Airstream all day with that. Or if you're looking for something that's a bigger, you know, a diesel pusher, there are also training classes that you can go through, and people will help you really get good driving whatever that is or pulling whatever that it is you want from an RV size.
And you're going to be hosting the reveal on the Top Tech Challenge at the RVX, right?
That's right. And it's so cool to see the way that the Top Tech Challenge works, and we hand people a list of issues with a possible thing and watch them kind of try to diagnose it. It's such a cool thing, because I think that side of the industry is so important and so vital to show off the craftsmanship that exists and the skilled technicians that support this whole industry.
And the website is GoRVing.com, correct?
That's right. It has everything to help you get started, whether that's a rental run or thinking about purchasing something. You know, it can really help you determine how are you going to use it, where and how. It's a great resource for everybody.
Quick question. Should the 200 wins that Kyle Busch is getting close to be compared to the 200 wins of the King, Richard Petty, since they were in truck and Xfinity and NASCAR, vis-a-vis Richard's being just in the Cup?
You know what, to me, Ron, I don't think there's any comparison. I think what Richard Petty did is unreal and unbelievable, and I think you have a greater appreciation for it the more that Kyle Busch wins, because Kyle Busch is showing us how hard it is to win in all of these series, and he makes it look easy. But look at his Cup wins, and you compare that to the King. To me, it makes me appreciate even more what Richard Petty was able to do. I don't think they are on the same level, but they are both unbelievable statistics. And Kyle Busch, what I appreciate, I think, most is that he's a guy that also has given other people a chance to drive his trucks. You know, what he does is unreal. And I think what's tough is that when he makes it look so easy to win, it starts making people wonder, like, well, did the King do that? Did it look like that every time? It's still an unbelievable feat. They are two great accomplishments that should be celebrated. But I definitely think they are for different accolades, any way you cut it.
Well put. But I just hate to see the King dethroned. I don't want to see that, Rutledge.
You don't have to worry about that. The King will always be the King. Now, I'll admit, one day Kyle might be the Prince, but he's going to have to keep getting that Cup number of wins up, I think, to change that nomenclature how people talk about it.
I hope that you get a chance to come back and visit us again. We'll talk about NASCAR. How's that? Would you do that?
Ron, I would love that. Thank you so much for having me. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. And again, the website is GoRVing.com. Our guest has been Rutledge Wood, of course, the man to watch on the NASCAR circuit. Thanks, Rutledge.
Thanks, Ron. Thank you, pal. I can't wait. I really appreciate you taking the time. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ron. Bye-bye.
And as you can hear from the people in the background, he's calling us right from the RV Experience Show in Salt Lake City. And we'll be right back.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. There's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
All that time, that I was tossing and turning,
we're back. All across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi today. Well, our next subject is a subject that we talk about in our family all the time. One in three Americans are chronically sleep deprived, and 70 million have a sleep disorder. And I got to be honest with you, after I talk to people about getting sleep, I think that figure even goes higher. Just in time for National Sleep Awareness Week is our guest, who is a CTA certified life management coach and wellness expert, Lauren Zoller. Hi, Lauren, how are you?
Hi, Ron, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Now that we are here in daylight savings time, we're going to lose an hour's sleep. Is that 1 hour very important as far as getting back on schedule is concerned? Can 1 hour be that much of a turning point?
And it absolutely is. And it's not just that 1 hour that we're speaking about. Really, it's good to take a look at your sleep patterns throughout the entire year, because prolonged deficiency in sleep can have some long-term health effects. You really want to make sure that you're getting a full night's sleep. And some of the things that can show up when you're not getting a full night's sleep, you can have some immediate things that happen. If you're not getting a good night's sleep, it can really affect your mental and your physical performance. Your focus can be off. Your memory can be off. So those are some immediate effects. But talking about long-term effects, prolonged lack of sleep has been known to lead to obesity and heart disease and high blood pressure. You can see how important it is that you value sleep in your life through the entire year.
What happens when you get too much sleep? Is there such a thing as that?
I think that there definitely is a problem if you do get too much sleep. Your energy levels could be decreased throughout the day because you've been in bed for an extended period of time. So it's always good to try to shoot for that 7 to 8 hour period to get sleep. But everybody needs a different amount of sleep. So it's kind of just testing. I would say start with 7 hours, because that is what every person needs in regards to allowing yourself to regenerate and renew and detoxify, because your body does that while you sleep. But if you feel like you're a person that maybe needs 8 or 9 hours, you may need to test that to kind of see where your sweet spot is.
But Lauren, is the 7 or 8 hour sleep sound sleep, what they call, I guess, REM sleep? Because, you know, I will sometimes be, you know, in bed for 7, 8 hours, but boy, I'm tossing and turning and I'm just not having quality sleep. So I don't think that the 8 hours is really sufficing, because it's not really a good sleep.
Right, yeah. And there's a lot of people have that problem, Ron, and there's some things that you can do to help you fall asleep quicker and then stay asleep when you are asleep. And a couple tips that I give, a product that I really love is Deep Sleep Pillow Spray by This Works. It's natural, it's clinically proven, and it's an aromatherapy tool. It's a combination of essential oils, lavender, chamomile, and vetiver, that are going to help you fall asleep and stay asleep so that you wake up refreshed. Another tip that I give, we're all attached to our phones, is to kind of give yourself some time to wind down before you go to sleep. So put away any device, your cell phone, your computer, your laptop. All of those devices emit blue light, which inhibit melatonin production in your body, which could be the result of why you can't stay asleep and you're tossing and turning at night. So really give yourself time to step away from the device and have about an hour period to kind of wind down before your head hits the pillow.
What about sleep apnea? Everybody scares the daylights out. I know myself, because 5 years ago, nobody even heard of sleep apnea, and now they tell you that, oh boy, if you've got sleep apnea, you're 3 inches away from the grave. That is a serious thing, but if you cannot sleep with all that mechanism, what do you do? They tried it on me one time, and I got to be honest with you, I thought I was flying a jet airplane, and there was no way that I was going to be able to sleep with all this apparatus.
Right. I'm not a doctor, so I can't really advise, you know, what you would need to do outside of the sleep apnea machine, but I do know that there are a couple things that you can do to help wind yourself down. In order to sleep, setting your temperature in your room between 60 and 67 degrees is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that may help ease some of the concern with sleep apnea. But again, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know some other routes that you could take other than the machine to help you get a good night's sleep. Making sure that you're staying on a schedule is important, too. So if you have a sporadic sleeping schedule, maybe one night you go to bed at 9 o'clock, one night 11 o'clock, that can kind of mess with your body's natural circadian rhythm, your natural clock, and can kind of throw your body off in regards to, okay, I don't know when I'm supposed to wind down, because one night I went to bed at 8 and one night I went to bed at 11 o'clock.
Okay. Now let's talk about what you refer to as a poor morning habit. What would be considered a poor morning habit?
So a poor morning habit would be waking up and immediately reaching for your phone and checking your phone. So not giving yourself, not giving yourself time to ease into your day. When you wake up in the morning, from a scientific standpoint, cortisol spikes in your body. So cortisol is your stress response hormone. So you want to find ways to ease into your day and to kind of burn off some of that excess stress in the morning. So I always recommend that when you wake up, ease yourself into your day. A couple tips that I give, this works makes morning expert drops. Again, it's another aromatherapy tool. It's a mixture of peppermint, rosemary, and lavender. You can kind of sprinkle that into your shower or put it on a warm wet washcloth and kind of take a couple deep breaths to help get your brain focused and ready. Moving your body in some sort of way, doing yoga, doing a little bit of meditation, just finding a way to ease into your day as opposed to waking up and grabbing your phone and going straight to stress-related activities such as checking emails, answering phone calls, answering text messages. Give yourself that morning routine time to really get yourself prepared for the day.
Where do you get these?
You can get these at thisworks.com, and you can also find more information and tips about how to sleep smart and wake up well on their website. They have a ton of information there.
Does watching TV in the bedroom, is that bad to fall asleep? My wife says, I got to watch this because it'll make me fall asleep. I said, count sheep. Is that bad?
I personally advise against it. I always recommend that you keep TV out of the bedroom, but I know that there's other people that, you know, may go against that, but I think it really gives you that sacred space feel to be able to walk in and have a place where you can either wind down or wake up in the morning and get your day started.
One of the problems I have with watching television at night is then I start dreaming about what the heck the last thing I saw on TV was. It keeps me up all night, you know?
That's right.
You know how tired I am of dreaming of Andy Griffith and Mayberry? It's driving me crazy. Jeez, oh man. Meant what I said. I think that there's more than 70 million people with sleep disorders. We just don't know about them. But where can we go for more information, Lauren, on what we've talked about today and more?
So again, you can go to thisworks.com. They have tons of information on how to sleep smarter and wake up well. And you can check out all the products that I just spoke about there as well.
That's great. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. This has been not only interesting, but very important. Anytime you want to come back, let us know. We'd love to have you, okay?
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ron.
Now I'm going to go take a nap, so I'll talk to you later. Is that bad, taking a nap?
No, naps are great.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm doing everything right for a change.
You are.
Thanks, Lauren.
Bye, Ron.
Bye-bye. Our guest has been very interesting because it's so important. Certified life management coach, wellness expert. We're talking about Sleep Awareness Week with Lauren Zoller. And there's more to come with Ron Sedgy today.
If you talk to me, we'll hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Little Blue Pill, what if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in the Blue Pill. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results for less than $2 per pill, and again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of the Little Blue Pill. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-365-6017 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-365-6017 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this, so call 800-365-6017 now.
That's going to wrap things up for hour number one, but we have another hour to go with Ron Sedgy today. I want to thank my guest this first hour, author Sean Levy, Rutledge Wood from NASCAR on NBC, and Lauren Soller. Next hour, international superstar, and she is something, Sarah Brightman will be joining us, the vice president of Verizon, talking about the new technology of G5. Oh, that's something. Mike Haberman will be here from Saturday Night Live and the executive producer of AP Bio on NBC. Mike O'Brien, and March is National Nutrition Month. We'll be chatting with nutritionist Carolyn O'Neill, and that's coming up next hour, live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgy today. We're going to pause, but our first guest next hour is Sarah Brightman.